Let's face it, like there's a lot of different technologies out there that don't have a business case for them right now. And we need to make certain that all of these technologies can help make insurance carriers more efficient and will ultimately help with pricing for the end consumer.
Welcome to the Insurance Innovators Unscripted, the show dedicated to innovation in the insurance industry. Each episode, you'll get a dose of thought leadership from the industry's top business minds, influencers, innovators, and executive leaders. If you want to transform your corner of the industry and exchange innovative ideas, you need to subscribe to this podcast. Now here's your host, Abel Travis.
Hey everyone, welcome to the Insurance Innovators Unscripted podcast dedicated to the discussion of insurance innovation. So I'm going to jump right in today, but before I do that, if this is your first time listening to the podcast, really quickly hit that subscribe button so you can get all of the new discussions that I have with the innovators, executive leaders, and those that are transforming this industry every Thursday. Hopefully you are going to get a lot out of the discussion that I'm having today. It's a really great one. And hopefully all of the discussions that we have on this podcast, you either get a lot out of or can take the opportunity to apply it to your world. So today I have the pleasure of speaking with Shelley Closa, the founder and chief executive officer of True Flood Risk, a company that provides enhanced flood risk assessments and underwriting by enabling users to more precisely analyze property elevation and vulnerability to flood risk. Shelley, it truly is an honor to have you on the podcast. Welcome.
Thanks so much for having me.
Hey, so Shelley, you know, from your background, you came from the marketing and the data world, but you now founded and lead a flood risk organization. You know, so how do you go from what you were doing previously to creating an organization that's essentially an insurtech company innovating flood in the insurance space?
Sure. Just to give you kind of just a little bit of background, you are correct. So, you know, previously I worked in marketing, market research consulting, you know, the data science world for a variety of, you know, startup to, you know, Fortune 1000 companies. And it was back shortly after Superstorm Sandy, where actually I was a victim, if you will. So I was living down at the Jersey Shore with my husband and children, and we had to leave the area. We had to go evacuate and go to my sister's home in Brooklyn during the storm. And when we returned home, we found some really interesting insights just from looking at our immediate community. And our house sustained some nominal damage in comparison to the grand scheme of flooding within our community along the Jersey Shore. And I started looking at our neighborhood. The home directly behind us lost everything on their ground floor. The house next to us was fine. The house a couple of doors down sustained damage. And a friend of mine, who's now our CTO, Dr. Piotr Leipert, she is a Nobel Prize-winning scientist who was, I was running through this idea with her, and we discovered that it was because our house was slightly elevated. We had a few extra steps leading into our home that really protected us from the ravaging storm waters from Hurricane Sandy. And so from there, that actually led to a greater question. It's like, okay, why is this? Is this true? So we started, in our local community with, other homeowners in the area, started measuring. And then we, grew this nationwide. We went out in the field and we were doing measurements in all kinds of different communities and houses. And we realized, okay, the higher the home, the lower the flood risk. And as a result, we felt that, that should also, drive flood insurance pricing as well. So that was a long-winded answer to how I came about founding True Flood Risk.
Yeah, Shelley, I have to say, I remember during the time of Superstorm Sandy, and I was, working in New York City at the time. And what I remember is as we went through some of the neighborhoods that were impacted by this, specifically in Staten Island, to the point that you made, you could be on the same block, not even a couple of hundred feet from a house that was completely destroyed by the flooding that might have been, 8 foot high from a water perspective. But there were some homes that were in the same area that really weren't touched or had some very minimal damage. When you look at the potential impact from an insurance perspective, you know, what you wind up seeing is that the zones, irrespective of where the homes are located, are still impacted or could potentially still be in the same type of a flood zone that the home that was impacted worse is in. You know, so just thinking about what you mentioned, I think that that's a true opportunity for the insurance space, and that shows a true need for what you are doing with True Flood Risk. So, you know, Shelley, if you don't mind, you know, if you can talk specifically about the value proposition of True Flood Risk, and then how that really impacts the insurance space.
Sure. So, you know, first of all, when it comes to flood insurance, only about 12% of homeowners today actually have flood insurance. And the problem is that a lot of people don't think about flood insurance until it's too late, after a major storm. And so one thing we're really working to do is to help, reduce that protection gap and get more folks to get information on flood insurance premiums. So we actually offer a couple of different solutions. We calculate first floor structural elevation of properties. That's the, you know, the name alone says True Flood Risk. That's really what we specialize. We specialize in this one data point that really can drive flood insurance pricing. We have three different solutions available today. We have augmented reality mobile app where homeowners or even prospective homeowners can go out into their outside, download our app for free, measure their property, find out the corresponding national flood insurance programs, NFIPs, rates at that respective height, and then we also connect the user with insurance professionals in their area for more information and a formal quote. So again, we are not an insurance carrier, we're not an insurance provider, we're an analytics tool to help educate homeowners. We also have a free desktop version as well where they can look up their address and calculate this without, you know, using an augmented reality mobile app. The one tool that is of real use for enterprise, for the insurance industry, reinsurance, as well as government agencies such as FEMA, is our enterprise solution where we can look at communities, in larger volume and generate property-specific data insights. And why this data point is so important for FFE is that, you know, currently flood insurance, pricing looks at, you know, flood zones. And we all know that flood zone maps are a bit antiquated, and you know the government, they're working, you know, aggressively to update these, you know, maps as quickly as possible. But the number of storms and the severity of storms, even flash flooding from heavy rains, are occurring more frequent, and so we really need to look at, you know, property specific flood risk now, you know, more than ever, and that's what our tool enables. We're able to calculate that information, so then you know, the insurance industry can take that data point and integrate it into their flood pricing models. They can look at minimizing values at risk. They can use this data insights for growing their flood insurance portfolio for marketing efforts, and those are just three examples of how industry can really benefit from using our data insights.
You know, so Shelley, I would have to say roughly about 10 or so years ago, I worked for a very large insurance organization. And what I did for that organization was build CAT models and also CAT strategy for both major and minor CATs, right? So hurricane, earthquake, flood, so on and so forth. And what I recognized is, you know, with the organizations that we leveraged to assist with the modeling, like RMS and AIR, there wasn't really property-specific elevation built into the model. So, you know, as I was mentioning a little bit earlier, when you look at the spread of risk of some of the properties, you know, as they're together, you'll see that some are located in a very similar zone. And then the factor that's being applied to it for the potential PMLs are, you know, are the same, you know, irrespective of the property's aggregation, the area in which the property is aggregated in. Now, as we fast forward to today, and when we look at some of those specific models, you know, what I still tend to see is that property-specific elevation still isn't taken deeply into consideration in the modeling, even from a lot of these really sophisticated organizations like RMS and AIR. So, you know, why do you think that is? And do you think that the data that's being provided by your platform, you know, has the ability to better inform those modeling organizations to help them to, you know, better model the exposure to risk for the insurance organizations that are using them?
So, I mean, that is a great point. I think the cost to acquire this property-specific data insights has been so, you know, cost prohibitive in the past that it's made it very difficult for the industry to get these data insights for property-specific. So to give you an example, right now there are some other solutions out there that's, specialize in using, satellite imagery, drones or even LiDAR data to try to get, this property specific first floor elevation. But the interesting thing is that they're looking at it from an aerial viewpoint. What makes our enterprise and our desktop solution unique is that we are using a 3D street view perspective that overlays with our proprietary machine learning technology to generate that first floor elevation. We are also using other property imagery where we then use our deep learning tools. We have a whole library of deep learning heights and measurements that we're using as an additional quality assurance check on our measurements. So for example, in Florida, when you look at a lot of, street view, perspectives of homes, you'll see things like golf carts, you'll see, doorways, you'll see windows, you'll see, mailboxes, you'll see recycling cans. So we have, very precise measurements of these different brands, and we're able to do an extra layer of QA on our work, on our calculations, by leveraging these different objects in the photos. And the problem is, again, going back to the whole satellite piece, looking at even LiDAR, which is, a great tool to look at landscapes and so forth, but it's very expensive. It's about, I've seen estimates as, $500 per square mile just to generate that. And oftentimes it doesn't give you, again, that ground floor to first floor, property structure elevation that we're able to get by looking at that 3D perspective that I mentioned earlier.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think, again, as I look at what's happening in this space, specifically in this industry, I think you're absolutely right. Right, to get down to that level of detail is cost prohibitive. But I do feel that with a lot of, number one, what you all are building, but also with the speed as to what we're seeing from a transformation and a technology perspective, that over time, the cost should begin to come down, so the information can be better leveraged within the underwriting process and within the modeling processes to help these organizations and carriers determine what risks, especially from a property perspective, could potentially be better risks. Now, I think about not only the insurance industry, right, but as we look at industries like the real estate industries and the financial services industries, especially as people are looking to purchase homes, I could see that banks would potentially want to require a level of protection that is very solid before they decide to extend the loan to the individual that's hoping and looking for it, right? So as you have the capabilities that are built out around mobile and other elements and aspects of your product, how is this being leveraged outside of the insurance space, and are you seeing a lot of usage of your product through the real estate space as well?
Yeah, so we're right now, if you buy a home in a high risk flood zone, you are required to go out and acquire an elevation certificate to secure a government backed mortgage. So in high risk areas, an elevation certificate is required, and they can be very costly. you know, in those moderate to low risk areas, that's really where the opportunity is to increase the number of flood insurance premiums in those communities, because there are flash floods and there are heavy rains that can cause significant damage. We are seeing that we have been approached by some, you know, real estate organizations for our tool as well, because a lot of it, you know, when you use our app, it's self-serving. You know, it's a self, you know, serving tool where a potential homeowner can use this when they're looking at properties, just to have an understanding of what their flood insurance premium might be if they decide to, you know, to purchase that home. And there is a great deal of interest. Also, our tools, you know, we're beginning to, you know, hear from different clients, you know, what other uses, you know, does our platform provide in addition to flood? And, you know, the data insights that we're collecting, you know, are also related to, you know, wind and storm, you know, earthquake, you know, wildfires and other serious perils out there. So, you know, while, you know, flood is the heart and soul, the core of our business today, we have been getting requests to supplement our data insights with other property specific situations as well. So we are, you know, collecting that data that will be of use to insurance carriers and real estate professionals.
Absolutely, right. And I think that's awesome, especially as you start to extend beyond flood, because to your point, it really is property specific information and not really peril specific information. But, you know, to go back to one of the things that you mentioned, you know, when we see large storms and like Superstorm Sandy and the impacts that they have, especially from things like storm surge, there, to your point, are also rebuilding standards that are required if an individual or if an organization wants to rebuild on that same land. You know, they can't build to the same standards that the property might have been built in, let's say, 50 years ago or so, if it's impacted. Now, with that said, you know, as a part of your capability, you allow individuals that are looking to purchase homes to see what the premiums may be for flood in that specific area. Now, you know, even with the NFIP, you know, in some areas, especially as you start to get into, you know, zones in Florida or barrier islands, you know, the rate that's associated with the flood insurance still might not be manageable for some. And to that point, you know, we've actually seen some cases where the insurance is greater than the mortgage for the home that's being purchased. You know, so do you see there being a potential for organizations like the NFIP and carriers that provide coverage for insurance to use this product as a way to really lower the amount of premium that's being collected on those areas or those homes and properties that aren't truly fully exposed to, let's say, total loss?
Yeah, I think that's going to happen, you know, over time. You know, we're seeing that more carriers are entering, you know, are coming up with flood products. You know, given NFIP changes, they're really encouraging, you know, participation from insurance carriers to come up with more affordable options for homeowners, you know, today for flood insurance. And I think that this is a great time for carriers to, you know, collect, as, you know, the problem is they're lacking data insights. They're lacking information on property specific risk. And so they're reluctant to come up with pricing because they don't have enough information to really understand the risk associated with that property. And that's where we provide additional information. As they start to integrate FFE, first floor elevation data points, into their models, I think that we're going to see that, especially moderate to low risk areas, that rates will become more competitive as more carriers offer flood products in addition to the NFIP offerings.
Absolutely. So Shelly, you know, your organization is a subsidiary of an organization called Think Geohazards. Now, you know, if you don't mind, Shelly, can you explain to us specifically what that is and how the two organizations, you know, True Flood Risk and Think Geohazards, fit in with each other?
Sure. So I founded Think Geohazards about 10 years ago. And again, in my marketing world work, we do we wanted to have a division that was truly dedicated to issues related to earth science, to natural hazards. We wanted it to be a completely separate brand. It was related to different, you know, climate-related issues. And so we were able to integrate True Flood Risk just under this parent company.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, hey, I used to, as I mentioned, not only did I build flood models in my past, but I also used to build product. And you know, we've built a lot of products around natural hazards, you know, for a couple of insurance organizations. And I got to tell you, I truly wish that your product was around at the time that I was doing this. I think it would have really enhanced the abilities of the organization, as well as the abilities of, you know, the natural hazards product that was built. Now, you know, with that said, I could see so many areas where this can plug into the product development process, the underwriting process, as well as some of the things that you talked about. So, you know, as you look a couple of years down the line, you know, conceptually, where do you see True Flood Risk evolving? And then, you know, do you see the potential to branch out into doing other types of things beyond just natural hazards or just other types of things in general?
Sure. So right now, most of our client directed requests have been for properties in the United States, primarily in areas, you know, geographies such as Texas, Florida, Louisiana, North Carolina, as you would imagine. You know, looking forward for the next couple of years, our tool is applicable worldwide. We have the ability to, you know, come up with FFEs, you know, in different countries as well, especially, you know, flooding is on the rise, you know, in Europe and Asia and Latin America. So there's going to be a great demand for this data insight on a worldwide basis. So looking forward, we want to make certain that we are able to expand our footprint to, you know, again, use our tool around the world, look at different, you know, perils, again, looking at, you know, wind and storm, you know, earthquakes, wildfires. Those are different data collection points that we're working on right now. We're in the R&D process. We're leveraging more deep learning, you know, with related to our tools. Right now, there is some sort of human touch point with using our tools. So we're working on more automation to make this a quicker, you know, it takes a minute or two to, you know, generate response, you know, when doing a property specific lookup. So we're looking at ways to even make it, you know, quicker and faster in terms of results. A minute or two is, you know, great. We're pleased with the progress, but, you know, we want to have it, you know, automated even more in the future. Other things that we're looking at is, you know, we're looking at partnerships for becoming an online quoting platform for our augmented reality mobile app. That has been something that folks are asking for. So we're having conversations with strategic partners of how they can leverage our technology into that space. So there's a lot of, it's a really exciting time. You know, let's face it, flood insurance, thinking about flood insurance is not very sexy. It's not the cool part of the insurance, you know, ecosystem. There's a lot of interesting things going on, but, you know, we believe that, that we need to reduce the protection gap in flood insurance. We need to get more folks to have coverage. They need to think about it before the storm, before the heavy rain. And anything that we can do to help consumers become more informed and aware is huge. And if our data insights can help the industry, you know, again, provide you know, the right information for their flood insurance, you know, their modeling to help reduce their values at risk, you know, that's really what we're looking forward to. And also leveraging, you know, blockchain, other emerging technologies, you know, in our tools, so insurance carriers can take our data insights, make sure that they're secure, and collect that information and track it down the policy, you know, chain is another area that we're looking at for 2019 and beyond as well.
Yeah, no, that's a lot in terms of where you all are going for the future and what you're considering for the future. And you know, I know you mentioned that, you know, a key part of what you all are, of why you're doing what you're doing, is to really close that protection gap, right? Especially in the consumer space, when it comes to having the right insurance and the flood insurance, because to your point, you know, most people don't really think about it, number one, unless it's required, or unless they're impacted by it, right? And I just think back to roughly about 10 or 11 or so years ago, even when Katrina hit, and when, you know, areas of New Orleans was devastated, in areas where you might would not have expected, you know, the devastation to occur, in a very significant amount. If you go back to the data that was provided during that time, a very significant amount of individuals, you know, didn't have their right protections and coverage to bring themselves back up to normal. So they had to, you know, get homes and sort of relocate in other areas and really start from ground zero once again. You know, so as you all think about bridging that protection gap, not only on the carrier sides, but are you all also thinking through, you know, what type of educational opportunities there may be for the consumers, you know, to really help them understand that, hey, this is necessary. And then the tool and the capability that you all are providing is something that can help you to better understand their exposure. You know, are you thinking about taking that direction as well?
Of course. And that's actually, you know, the whole foundation of our company started. You know, we launched shortly after Hurricane Harvey as an educational tool to help homeowners. And again, you know, with a very limited advertising budget, relying a lot on social media, word of mouth, blog postings, you know, we've gotten a lot of traction from users, but unfortunately they're after storms. And so we're working on strategies and working with strategic partners to help, you know, generate awareness before storms of just, you know, again, integrating this, you know, question about flood as part of the home buying process. You know, on a personal note, when my husband and I, when we purchased our first home, again at the Jersey Shore, you know, the conversation of flood and flooding never came up. I never even thought about what my flood insurance premium would be, if I would need coverage. And so, especially as that, you know, first time home buyer, you don't really know all the factors to consider. And so anything that we can do to help, you know, raise awareness, to put things into perspective, to let them know the affordability. The truth is, for the majority of people who are in those moderate to low flood risk zones, you know, flood insurance is going to be very affordable. A few hundred, you know, dollars, you know, per year is most likely the range. But those who are buying homes in high risk areas, you know, obviously they know what is going to be, you know, a factor and a concern. And they should also know really what the cost should be before they seriously think about buying a home.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So you know, you mentioned quite a few technologies that you're already leveraging today, as well as technologies that you're going to further leverage in the future. You know, so when we look at the insurance industry, there are insurtechs like yours that are, you know, leveraging these innovative technologies, you know, just to help to you know, lead and drive the transformation that we're seeing, especially in innovative spaces that you're doing in areas like flood. Now, to the point that you may knowing flood insurance may not be sexy, but it's a requirement, especially in high risk areas, and it's something that could, you know, absolutely benefit from innovation. So, you know, how do you see these technology trends shaping the future of insurance, and then also shaping the future of what you're going to be focusing on as you look a couple of years down the line?
Yeah, I think that these are tremendous tools that are just helping insurance carriers be more efficient with their time, with their efforts, with their pricing. I think it's helping insurance carriers expedite the digital transformation on their side. So again, by leveraging our tools, you know, it's a ready-made, you know, real-time solution. It can be easily integrated into their, you know, API to, you know, enhance their model. So we're just helping insurance carriers do what they do a little quicker, a little faster, and then just, you know, relying on their traditional processes. And I think there's a lot of really exciting companies out there who are, you know, introducing, you know, really, really challenging, you know, carriers to be more, you know, efficient, to be more forward thinking. But again, I think that taking these new technologies, realizing it has to have a business case. Let's face it, like there's a lot of different technologies out there that that don't have, you know, a business case for them right now. And we need to make certain that all of these technologies, if they're being utilized, can help make insurance carriers more efficient and will ultimately help with pricing for the end consumer.
Oh yeah, no, absolutely. You know, to the point that you're making, there's a lot of organizations out there that's a solution that's looking for a problem, right? And to your point, you know, if you start at that point, you know, you're really not going to hit a problem that's worth solving, because you're starting with the end in mind, not knowing if it's even something that's necessary in that space, right? So, you know, as I look at your organization, you know, I can clearly see that the problem and the value proposition that you all have built, it's really one that's going to help to shift the way that organizations are looking at this type of exposure within insurance carriers. You know, so I got to tell you that's really innovative. So, you know, how do you personally maintain that culture of innovation in your organizations, right? Just because I know there are so many other organizations that are trying to do it, but it seems like there's not a lot that's doing it as successful as you are. So, you know, how do you maintain that culture to drive innovation within True Flood Risk?
I think it's hiring, you know, hiring the right people, you know, really creating a team that is all aligned with the same goals, who are not afraid to, you know, bring out ideas, trial and error. You know, we're able, you know, we actually started this tool, you know, it took us about 3-4 years to bring this tool to market, because we kept working on refining it to make our margin of error even more precise. You know, we were, you know, we really encouraged creativity amongst our team and our technologists to really find the right solution. And every single day, you know, we're bringing out, you know, the best in people, like, hey, what else can we do? You know, how else can we use our deep learning tools? What other kind of extraction can we do from these objects? So every single day, in every single conversation that we have with our strategic partners and listening to them, some of the concerns and the issues that they're facing are making our tools even better to integrate into their lines of business.
Absolutely, you know, so hey, Shelley, you know, I want to say thank you. I truly do appreciate the time that you and I, you know, had here today to talk about what you're doing with True Flood Risk and, you know, just the significant amount of value that this provides the insurance industry. You know, if anyone wants to learn more or want to get in contact with you or your team, you know, what's the best way for them to do that?
They can send me an email to Shelley@trueFloodRisk.com. Shelley with one E, Shelly, @trueFloodRisk.com.
Great. Well, hey, Shelley, you know, once again, thank you. I do truly appreciate it. And personally, I'm looking forward to seeing, you know, how this is going to impact the space. And I got to tell you, outside of this podcast, I'm also going to, you know, send this to some of my old colleagues that do cat modeling and cat management and strategy, you know, just to show them, you know, that this tool and this capability is out there that can help them become better at understanding the risk that they're taking on. So, hey, thank you. I absolutely do truly appreciate it.
Thank you for the opportunity.
Hey everyone, thanks again for listening to this episode of the Insurance Innovators Unscripted Podcast. Now, Shelley has a lot of great ideas around innovating flood risk. And, you know, it brings me back to the days when I used to do cat modeling and cat management for the company that I used to be a part of, you know, and I know that, you know, with this capability, there's a lot of opportunity to deploy it in areas that's valuable for our insured. So, you know, once again, thanks for listening, and I'll see you next week.